Welcome to the Poo 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 Podcast. I'm Lisa Mayer, and this one is called Shower. You'll figure it out. And this just happened to me. Shower. You know how if you have a headache and complain about it, someone will say, well, at least it's not a brain tumor. Well, guess what I got? Yep, a brain tumor. Totally random, totally crazy. We were at Jones Beach last summer, and the ocean was rough. Picked me up, spun me upside down, and dropped me. It was fun. Going back to the car, I told Srili that I couldn't hear out of my left ear. I just figured I had half the sand of Jones Beach in it. The next day, we flew to Paris. Big birthday trip. We walked all around Paris. Okay, I wasn't walking all that straight, zigging and zagging, but it was still incredible. When I got back, my ear doctor said, no sand, no wax in your ear, but before I give you any medicine, I want to check one more thing, so I'm sending you for an MRI. You ever have an MRI? They are so noisy. You can compose an entire ugly symphony out of those sounds, and I bet someone will. And if you are claustrophobic, I suggest you take a Xanax. A couple of days later, we were on the road to Bethel in Maine when I got a call from a neurosurgeon. I don't get calls from neurosurgeons every day, so I called back my ear doctor and who said, yes, we found something. May you never hear those words. I almost couldn't hear them either. But I really did have a brain tumor. Me, who's been healthy as an ox her whole life. An ox. But the next week, I actually had to choose a neurosurgeon. Here's what I did. I called my sister, Dr. Dina Weintraub, who was listed as the best ophthalmologist in New York. She put me in touch with a neurosurgeon at Mount Sinai Hospital. Then I went to visit Dr. Jeffrey Florman from the Scarborough office in Maine, the same office that called me on that trip to Bethel. He was amazing, great reputation, 6'7", earnest, skinny, and exactly the best type of nerdy. After a while, he asked me a question. Did you get a second opinion? I like my patients to get a second opinion. I said, well, I had a phone consultation with a neurosurgeon from Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City. He said, oh, my brother is the head of transplant surgery there. I looked at him. I said, well, your mother must be flying. When he left, I knew he was my guy. My sisters, Dina the doctor and Amy the professor, said they were coming up to Maine. My son Zachary the musician, his new wife Eliana the rabbi, and my stepdaughter Ilana the super teacher said they were coming up. Some party! I asked around Dr. Florman's team and they said he liked Coca-Cola in glass bottles. A few weeks later, I was sitting on a hospital gurney wearing only one of those yucky beige gowns. Beige with a harlequin pattern. Oy, not attractive. Srili and my son Zachary were at the foot of the bed. Dr. Florman and an anesthesiologist came in. I gave Dr. Florman the 6-pack of Coca-Cola. He hugged it to his chest and gave me a huge smile. I said, Dr. Florman, I'm not really dressed for... He waved his enormous and precious hand. Lisa, you're sitting here now. In 7 hours, you're going to be sitting here again. What happens in those 7 hours? Don't even think about it. Well, I don't remember anything after that. That sneaky anesthesiologist got me. Next thing I do remember, I was sitting in the same spot, and they were wheeling me to some room. I remember my sisters sitting at the foot of my bed in my new room. Dina was giving me some eye gunk she said I should have. Amy, the professor, was taking care of something on her phone. My sisters could run the world. And I was spilling all the family secrets because, as I said, right now, I have no filter. It kind of was a party. And when some members of our congregation came the next day to visit, we sang some Yiddish songs, and then it really was a party. There was one funny thing that's also kind of gross. Now, I couldn't eat anything because I had bitten my tongue during the surgery and it was raw and disgusting and painful. That's not the funny part. or the gross part. I had a roommate whom I saw only once for 10 seconds till they closed that thick curtain between us. Miss Roslyn was from the South. She was 92, and she had broken her foot, so she couldn't get up or move from the bed at all, which meant I had the bathroom to myself, but she had to be changed like a baby. I would hear her chronicling the procedure, which was gross. We shared a day nurse named Kiki, also from the South, an enormous woman with an enormous voice. Every morning, Kiki would come in with the hospital menu, disappear behind the thick curtain, and this is what I would hear. "So, Miss Rosalind, what would you like for breakfast this morning? Would you like some eggs? How about some with some cheese or bacon? How about an omelet or a nice bowl of oatmeal?" And I thought, why is Kiki plying her with food when she knows what's coming down in a couple of hours? And to whatever Kiki suggested, Miss Rosalind would say, "Sure," not "sure," making it another syllable and raising it up a whole octave. "Sure." It took me 3 mornings to realize that Kiki read that menu with such elocution and delectation because she was actually reading it to see what she, Kiki herself, would want for breakfast. In fact, she was horrified to find out that I had asked for plain green beans the day before. "And Miss Lisa, you didn't want any pork gravy or even butter on them beans, and you wanted to eat them cold." Oh, my mouth hurt so much, I couldn't even defend myself from her tisk-tisking. Those slimy cold beans were the only things that would slide down. Well, it's been 4 weeks and now both eyes close properly so I don't have to wear an eye patch and pretend I'm a pirate. And I can raise both eyebrows evenly so I don't have to pretend I'm a Picasso. I went back to work and there were huge hearts and stars hanging in the music room. They said, "We love you and we missed you." And only one kiddo said, "Oh, I thought you were dead." I wrote notes to my family on WhatsApp and to my friends on Facebook, thanking them and telling them that I love them and that their prayers worked. I don't have any big revelation to share about the universe, and I didn't reach enlightenment. I'm grateful that there are people who devoted their lives to medicine. I'm grateful that I have devoted myself to a job that has medical insurance. I'm just grateful that I wake up every day and that my kiddos and my husband love me, and that I can still play violin and write. I'm just grateful, grateful, for sure.